This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's continue our conversation on design and inclusion. This statement will hardly shock you, but here goes. The digital space is not static. In fact, the world of technology evolves really quickly, which means developers can get quite creative. It also means that accessibility and inclusion can get left behind. But not necessarily. If designers create some inclusion guidelines, Denis Boudreau is a digital accessibility specialist. He's also the founder of Inclusive Communication, and he joins us this morning from Montreal. Hey, good morning, Denis. How are you doing today?
Great. Good morning. Good to be here.
So, Denis, this topic can be quite big and broad, but I'm curious, what got you thinking about your own personal guidelines for making the digital space more inclusive?
Out of necessity, I would say. We work with these international guidelines, right? So the whole landscape has been defined over 10 years ago. And people are like, it's easy to go back and find what the requirements are. But what most of us find really in this field is that the amount of rules or requirements that are out there are just too daunting for most people, too overwhelming. And therefore, people tend to sort of not look at them too much and trust their own gut feeling. And so they need to really define a set of guidelines that would be easier to tackle for designers, for instance, specifically designers, but, you know, developers as well. It's just this idea that instead of looking at the nitty-gritty or the granular details, to look at things more holistically so that people can have a sense of what they're shooting for. And by understanding that, then eventually being able to tackle the details a bit more easily.
You and I were exchanging some notes last week, and you eventually wrote me back a fairly long note that eventually became a blog post, which I would almost call a manifesto. But I think you coined a term called professional batting average when it comes to inclusion. Right. What led you to think about digital inclusion in those terms?
So I guess part of that just comes from the fact of I used to be an Expos fan until they broke my heart.
You and me both, Denis.
2004, I think, something like that. Anyway, the point being that I've always been amazed by how, you know, like the best hitters have these amazing averages of, say, 0.356 or something like that. And, you know, which means that they basically hit the ball like 3.5 times out of 10. And we never really think about the fact that, you know, that also means that they miss six times out of 10. Sorry. So it sort of always stuck with me that even the best ones in their field, it's okay if they don't succeed at in some point. But, you know, as long as they maintain a consistent average, then you know, they perform over time. And I think the same is true for design. For development, I mean, people who are sensitive or you know, open to the idea of creating more inclusive experiences for people with disabilities, they typically put this pressure on themselves to, you know, be perfect all the time, and that just can't be. And if you acknowledge that, you know, you're going to have some wins and then you're going to have some losses, and as long as you learn from your losses, then you can keep making progress, I think is a much better approach. So the whole idea of that batting average is simply, as a professional, like your professional batting average, is it like, can you, like, what drives you into maintaining a level of quality that you want to keep shooting for? And defining what that is, basically.
So, Denis, let's go back to your own personal guidelines. What are a few of the elements that you've incorporated into your own guidelines?
So there are two levels to this. So I'm going to focus mostly on the basic level, if you will, which is really three core tenets, if you will. The first one is really this idea that, you know, web accessibility, digital inclusion, it's really more about the journey than it is about the destination. People tend to think that it's, or you know, you tend to hear people say that, you know, it's both the journey and the destination, meaning that, you know, it's about the process, but it's also about the outcome. Destination being the outcome, like an accessible website, for instance, and the journey being the process to get there. And what I find is that the journey really actually is a lot more important than the destination, because if you really focus on your process, the outcome will sort of automatically take care of itself, if you will. Like you won't get everything perfect, but the things that you do focus on are going to be handled well on this project. And if you accept the fact that, you know, it's baby steps, then your next project will be a little better, and then one after that would be a little better again. So sort of acknowledging that we can't do everything perfect is kind of that first idea or first tenet. The second one is really that it's not going to be as painful as you think if you accept to do this progressively, like these baby steps again. So sort of removing the pressure of wanting to do everything perfect and just acknowledge the fact that things take time, that, you know, there's a learning curve and you have to allow yourself to evolve through this, understand things, wrap your head around things, and then use that to make your design process, to make your implementation process more inclusive of people with disabilities. And the third one is really about those folks. So remembering that accessibility has the power of making people's lives more autonomous, changing their lives for the better so that they feel like they matter, for instance, that they were cared for, thought about, that they belong, that they're also considered as being part of the society and therefore able to also use the products and services that we create. Mm-hmm. So these three different ideas, they work really well together to establish a mindset, if you will. And then everything from there, you can start diving into the details of how you're going to do those things. And, you know, for a designer, it might be color contrast considerations, or it might be the kind of font that you use or the size of that font. But if you don't have that mindset, first and foremost, that allows you to really think in this way, chances are you're going to miss the point again, because you're going to be focused on that destination much more. I need to make something that complies with a particular standard or a particular law, but you're not going to have a process that allows you to really do that in a thoughtful way.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the manifestation a little bit, because I think sometimes designers might say, this framework, these guidelines, they're stifling my creativity. But is it mm-hmm. possible that guidelines can actually catalyze creativity?
That's probably the number one reason why people push back on accessibility in the first place. Like this idea that, oh, I won't be able to do what I want anymore. And, you know, the quality of what I'm going to deliver is going to be minimized because, you know, accessible websites have to be boring and they have to be ugly and all these different things. And really, I'm from a different school of thought where I think that when you have clear guidelines that allow you to really determine what you're doing, you can go much further. Because now that you understand the rules that potentially exclude people, you can work within the confines of those rules to make sure that those folks are also included. And you can still, if you're creative, you're still going to find solutions and ideas to make something look good. But understanding who you're trying to talk to or reach or communicate to, and keeping those within the boundaries of what you do will just create a product that is more inclusive ultimately. So it's really a question of mindset, like acknowledging that some things you can't do. Like if you really, really like the idea of having content that flashes aggressively on the screen to draw attention, you know, that's a thing. But if you recognize that that is potentially a problem or a risk or threat for someone who has epilepsy, for instance, you know, you would want to do that. Or if you understand that faint color contrast might be really look really good on your screen, but if you acknowledge that people like myself, for instance, are colorblind and therefore might not be able to perceive those colors, and you build something that has stronger contrast, then, you know, everyone has a better chance of being able to consume that information. Even non-colorblind people who are just trying to look at their screen outside and with their sun glare, like the higher contrast will benefit everyone. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. this, you know, just working with this instead of working against it will typically allow you to create very creative, very beautifully designed assets that, you know, are going to also be inclusive of everyone.
Dini, the answer to this question might be similar-ish, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because in the intro, I did mention that the digital space can evolve very quickly. How does that pace impact finding accessible solutions? Does trying to solve accessibility issues quickly potentially have a negative impact on the designers and developers' approach to making products inclusive?
For sure. I mean, one of the biggest problems that we face, or challenges that we face, I should say, in this particular field is that there aren't that many tools or you know, products or frameworks out there that actually are accessible out of the box. So all these different you know, vendors, organizations, services, they create something that, you know, does the thing that they want it to do, and it does it really well typically. But accessibility always being at best an afterthought. You know, as a designer or a developer, if you want to use that new cool technology that everybody's talking about and that makes the websites really cool today, and you're concerned about accessibility, you might not want to use that thing because, you know, it's not accessible. Or you would have to invest a lot of your own energy into fixing it so that it becomes accessible. And then, you know, there's a risk of your accessibility layer breaking down further down the path when you update their tool and, you know, that's not compatible with what you did. So it's pretty brittle if you have to work on top of something that is made by somebody else. So those things always keep accessibility a little back compared to what other technologies can do. Unless, of course, if you happen to find a piece of technology that does, you know, that really cool thing that people like and happens to be accessible. But that is probably one out of every, I don't know, 15, 20 that we meet that has some accessibility considerations in them. So that's probably one of the biggest reasons why there's that bit of a challenge to really maintain accessible content on these really popular websites or those that are more complex, because there's so many different pieces that are coming into play that don't, you know, account for accessibility in the first place.
Hey, Denis, thank you for this. I appreciate the mention of my beloved Montreal Expos. Maybe sometime we can talk about the 94 Expos over a beer.
Maybe one day. Yeah.
It's still hard.
I have great stories about actually selling programs at the stadium back then, also in 1994.
Are you serious?
I could watch all the games, and I was pretty much there for all the games that were played in Montreal that year.
Oh my gosh. Oh, memory lane through and through. Hey, Denis, thank you. Thank you for this. Have yourself a nice day.
Awesome. You as well. Thank you.
That's Denis Boudreau, digital accessibility specialist, digital inclusion specialist, and he's also the founder of Inclusive Communication. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.